10 floaters. Welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great, man. Yeah. I ain't been up this early in a long time.
He was early to the studio. Yeah. Beat the cameraman. I was like, what in the world?
Shit, I just ain't been asleep. You feel me? I stayed up. I'm not going to miss it. You know?
He called me out right away because I was creeping. I always creep on your stuff and Renee, everybody's stuff. And then you're like, yeah, but you don't follow. Damn it. I gotta follow you right now.
No support out here. Like,
see how you do?
You worse than my ex. That's
crazy. Oh, no. I really am. I'm creeping up. See how it is? It's like semi-stalking. I gotta cut that out. Look, I'm a huge fan. I gotta say something out the gate. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
And I mean that. Being Mexican-American, being Mexicana, when I was little, my nana would be like, get you a job with the state. Get you a job with the city. You know, get you a civil servant job and get a good retirement. How in the world did you just start, like, I'm going to make money selling jokes, and did your family support that?
Yeah, because I was doing way worse than just comedy. I was, like, I was a drug addict, you feel me? I still am, but what?
It's legal drugs.
But I'm getting money now.
That's what they call functioning drug addict.
No, like the other part of my family. Oh, but anyway.
I was just working like at a warehouse, you know, like just waiting for payday, wasting my whole check in one night with buying drugs, buying alcohol, and then it just became like a routine. And I was like, you know what? I feel like I'm too good of a people's person. I always knew I was kind of funny, and I was like, I feel like I could do something else with this. And I started looking at stand-up specials. I watched like Cat Williams' Pimp Chronicles Part 1 inspire me like on a different level.
Shout out Cat Williams.
Shout out Cat. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try this out. And I went to a few open mics just to look. But my ego got so big, I was like, man, I'm way funnier than these. And then you go up there, you find out you're not. You know?
But is that not the worst feeling? Like, it's humbling, right?
Of course. And that's what I love about comedy, because you can get humbled on any given night of the week. Like, it don't matter who you are, what status you got. Like, it's humbling. And I feel like I need that, you know?
Okay. How long have you been doing comedy for?
This is my 5th year, bro.
Okay. Oh, wow.
The come up was quick.
The last year and a half has been extremely crazy, you know, thanks to the internet. As you guys know, TikToks and Instagram Reels can literally change your life. It changed mine. Mm-hmm. So I've just been on it, you know.
Do you get nervous when you get up there? Do you ever feel there's them little butterflies?
Man, when I first started, I would cancel shows because I was so nervous.
What?
I would get anxiety. My hands would get cold. I'd be on some Slim Shady throwing up in the bathroom. That probably wouldn't hurt me, though.
Mom's Fidel.
Yeah, for real. And then I just ended up, the more you do it, obviously, it becomes a little bit easier. And then eventually it became a thing of needing it. Like, I can't go, like, past 3 days without doing stand-up, I start going crazy.
Is that your drug of choice now?
Yes, it is. 100%. Like, I always told everybody, there's the worst day of stand-up comedy is still a better feeling than the best day on whatever drug you do.
Talk about shows that worth getting nervous over. You recently got brought out by Fluffy in your hometown of Chicago at the United Center where the Bulls play. Oh, what was that whole experience like, man?
That was wild.
Yeah, man, I just want to say it used to be Michael Jordan house, but now it's Ken Flores house.
Soon.
Right, it's gonna be exactly. Yeah.
You need your own shoe. Oh God.
But yeah, you know, it was crazy because I mean, United Center, you know, it's a place that you know, you grow up and you look at it and it's just like everybody wants to play the hometown arena, you
of
know,
course.
Where the Suns play, wherever, like that's the dream, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously it seems unrealistic for a long time for a lot of people, but then, you know, shit, I mean, my bad. Stuff starts to happen.
You want, so you can talk however you want to talk. You do what you need
for
to do.
For sure. So stars start to fall into place and, you know, this opportunity came about through a networking thing. You know, we ended up having the same management agents.
Oh,
so
wow.
They aligned us together. I mean, he didn't have to do that. You know, nobody made him, but he came to one of my shows in Brea, California, and he sat through the show. He went up, gave me my flowers, but it was something. It was something magical for sure. And then I was really nervous. I felt like it was like my first time my parents were watching me. You know, but I remember sweating that day. Like when I got off the stage, my shirt was drenched just because he was there making me nervous. And after that,
but you did you kill it though? Did
I,
you kill
I,
it?
I smoked it. What are you talking about? That's why he put me on the other show. You feel me? Yeah. So he DM'd me when I was in Texas. on a road gig, and he sent me a message. He's like, hey, I'm doing United Center. And I already knew he was going to do it. And we had teased the idea of probably doing something together, but, you know, I didn't want to ask or anything. But he asked me, you know, I kind of almost manifested it. And I was like, bro, yes. I told my dad immediately. I told my mom. Like, my dad, I've done a lot of cool stuff now lately, but my dad has never been like, oh, I'm proud of you or anything like that. But for this, he's like,
I know who that motherfucker is. Yeah.
And like the United Center, he knows is crazy, you know? Yeah. So they put up flyers at his job, and they said,
oh,
like,
my God,
Rogelio Flores' son will be opening for Fluffy. Oh, so he sent it to me. He was happy. And then the day of the show, you know, the set went great. Fluffy brings me out at the end of the show, and he lets Chicago know, you know, this guy's the future. I'm co-signing him.
Oh my God.
It was almost like a passing of the torch moment. And I mean, just to see 20,000 people in the arena yell for you, it was insane. You know, I was about to cry. It didn't really happen too much. And but
I'm gonna
when
cry
I got,
right now.
But when I got off stage and my dad was walking up to me, he was bawling, and I had never really seen him cry like that. So that made me cry. You're like, you know, I was like,
oh man,
you feel emotional.
That's a
right
great
now.
Story.
You thinking yeah. about it?
It yeah. reminded me of when and Jay-Z brought out Kanye at Chicago in the United yeah. Center and
That's
did the whole training
wild.
Day.
It's yeah. also it's also good to hear that Fluffy is co-signing on other comedians, especially Latino comedians, because mm-hmm. we've heard that doesn't always happen. There's always yeah. room for more. One person's success doesn't mean it holds me back from my success.
Exactly.
So shout out to Fluffy for that.
100%.
You mentioned Chicago. Let's talk about the Latinos, the Mexicans in Chicago, man. Mm-hmm. Why do we not hear more about that? It's the majority minority now, which I didn't even know till the other day, because I'm like, we're trying to get a radio station in Chicago. We're trying to get, you know, picked up in Chicago. And I was like, well, I don't know what the demographics look like. What is the deal? Nobody ever talks about Los Mexicanos in Chicago.
I know, right? Because we got bad stigma. We just all gangbang and work at factories and shit. But I mean, there's a lot of us, you know? Like, there's a lot of us. It blows my mind when I go on the road and people are like, there's no Mexicans in Chicago. I'd be like, what? I grew up with all Puerto Ricans in Humboldt Park. Then I moved out to Aurora, Illinois, which is about 40 minutes outside of Chicago. Uh-huh. And there's a bunch of Mexicans there, too. Like, I grew up with Mexicans. Now, they're not the same as Arizona Mexicans or California Mexicans or even Texas.
Mexicans,
we're all different in our own way. Chicago's mostly urban influence.
Yes.
You'll find a lot of similarities between Chicago and New York. But there's also a mixture of like Memphis in there. So it's like, I don't know. It's real. You know, Chicago, I can't really describe it because it's unique, you know. But there's hella Mexicans out there, and there's hella Puerto Ricans and hella Latinos overall.
Latino culture is deep there. Yeah. And what do you think is the best place? And this is like kind of off topic, but we going to Chicago pretty soon. Where's the best place for me to grab a great Mexican meal in Chicago?
A Mexican meal? Psh, I'll probably, man.
Besides your house?
Nah, my mom don't know how to cook.
Oh, no!
My mom don't know how to cook either. Yeah. So, yeah.
I grew up on tortas de jamón and quesadillas. You feel me?
Putting down the jefitas. What are y'all doing?
No, but she did a great job. Look at me, I'm big as hell. Yeah, she ain't know how to cook, but I knew how to eat. You feel me?
Anyway, he's like, I cried for my dad. My mom can't cook.
I want to give a shout out to Ruby's on 18th Street. They got some of the best tacos in the city, handmade tortillas. The family is from Guerrero, Mexico.
Okay.
And they got the whole, it's a family operation, got the whole family working, aunts, baby mamas, baby dad,
everybody
in that motherfucker.
Everybody.
Yeah, you'll see somebody who look like just got here from Mexico and a motherfucker with eyelid tattoos with a gun on his hip.
Yeah.
But they showed love and they got great food. It's just really good. You definitely got to try it. But I also want to give a shout out to a Puerto Rican spot called Jibaritos y Mas in Humboldt Park. Chicago got their own Puerto Rican food.
Yeah.
Like, you can't even find that shit in Puerto Rico, you feel me? So
they got their own little mix.
Exactly. And they make this sandwich without the bread. It's plantains instead, and you can get bistec, pollo, whatever you want. Banger, I'm telling you.
He is different. He says sandwich. We say sandwich.
Y'all say pizza, too, probably,
pizza.
Huh?
Pizza, sandwich.
So, obviously, you're on the road a lot.
Yeah.
You're moving around. Had you traveled before comedy?
No, never. I mean, I have been places like LA and Houston, but like family stuff, you know.
So what's your favorite city now that you're moving around?
Man, I love like Texas. Like, I love Houston, you know. Like, just Houston got like a flavor to it. You feel
I would
me?
Say
like,
Houston and Chicago have probably with Mexicans are similar a little bit.
Yeah. But you also see a lot of influence from LA and Houston, like the South. But I'd probably say, I mean, obviously I love LA, but Portland would be a very underrated city. I love Portland. I love
beautiful city.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. I love Portland. And yeah, it'd probably be be between Houston and Portland for sure.
All right. Well, you know,
I got a question because they're, you know, Ken, you're a big influence for a lot of, you know, especially rising comedians and young just content creators in general. Now, prior to the warehouse job and when you were making your content, you were also working at Little Caesars. Is this correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
$5 pizzas.
I'm ready, baby.
Yeah. I often say that Little Caesars is the pizza, the official pizza of in between paychecks. Yeah. What was it like, dog, working at Little Caesars, man? What was your experience working there, dog?
First of all, Little Caesars is good. I don't know.
I like Little Caesars.
Like,
I don't know about in between pages. I was going there on payday. You feel me? Like, I'm getting thick. But anyway, like the experience of working there, man, was just crazy because it was like my first like actual like job, you know. And I just didn't give a shit about it. Like I just was the worst employee ever, bro. Like
I would think you'd be a great people person talking to people.
But they had me in the back doing dough and stuff. So like I was like with the paisas with no papers and shit. Like I'm like, bro, I'm not supposed to be up there a cashier. But
do you speak Spanish?
I'm looking into this one, like, I speak perfect Spanish.
Were you in the back though telling them, "Órale,
man, we was back there doing shit we shouldn't have been doing." but I remember like I used to like working with them because like they'll do dumb stuff. Like they'll like go to the bathroom and call in the order and, like, under a different name, and then the pizza will have to go to waste, so we'll just eat it.
We'll
be finessing, bro.
That's the way you get you a meal for the night.
For real, bro.
I remember, paychecks or not.
I remember I was like, for a long time, they used to like get me in trouble and write me up, and I used to always just be like, oh, they racist, but I was just the worst, you know? And I used to just tell them, like, I'm going to destroy the company from within. I was stealing crazy bread. Like, I thought I was going to eat my way through, like, that situation. And now they're doing fine. I gained, like, 200 pounds. I gained, like, 200 pounds. Like, my blood pressure is insane right now.
Shout out to all them first jobs, man. I have many. I want to thank you for coming in. Like I said, I'm proud. I'm following right now.
All right.
Instead of creeping like the ex, like, you call me out.